To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover up your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Thanks for joining me. We're in the book of Revelation, and we're looking at the message to the church in Laodicea. So first off, in verse 14, we see that Jesus is described as the faithful and true witness. And then in verses 15 and going on 16, this Lord Jesus, who is the faithful and true witness, is all seeing. You know, he knows everything about this church and everyone in it. He knows every act and every motive. Nothing is hidden from his sight. He could see beneath the surface. He could see behind the appearances and the outward appearances. He could see that they were neither hot nor cold in their faith, but lukewarm and unfit for purpose. And because of this, he was ready to spit them out of his mouth. The Greek word here, where we say spit, it's more akin to vomit, really. It's a really strong reaction of disgust. So what the Lord is saying is quite severe about their attitude. I mean, just think of how refreshing a cold drink is on a hot summer's day. Or how comforting a hot drink is on a cold winter's day, as we well know right now. But a lukewarm drink on either of those days, it doesn't give you the desired refreshment, does it? Friends, our spiritual lives can be the same, both corporately as a church and individually as well. We can have one foot in the kingdom and one foot out in the world or in sin. And it neuters our passion for him. And we end up as mediocre, lukewarm Christians whose spiritual lives don't taste good in the Lord's mouth and they're not fit for purpose. But why did the Lord say to the Laodiceans that they were lukewarm? What was the core problem? Well, if we go down to verse 17 and 18, we see the Laodiceans boasting. It's self-sufficiency and pride. This church has lost its passion and zeal for Christ and the gospel. They became self-sufficient, proud, and ultimately deceived. Essentially, what they were saying was, I'm all right. I don't need anything. I'm doing fine, thanks. But they lost their appetite and zeal for the Lord. And worst of all, they didn't realize and they thought they were doing just fine. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, that through the gospel, we have tasted that the Lord is good, and that we should continually long for the pure spiritual milk, for more of him. The Laodicean church deceived themselves into thinking that they were rich spiritually, perhaps spiritually and materially, and that they didn't need anything from the Lord. But the reality was the opposite. In the Lord's eyes, Jesus was saying to him that your whole attitude is wrong and you don't even know it. Can you imagine the Lord describing a church like that? Can you imagine the Lord describing one of us like that? Spiritually poor, blind and unable to see their own weak state and covered with shame. It's shocking, isn't it? No, friends, isn't it true that the same problem exists today in the Western Church, corporately and individually? And isn't our culture here in the UK just as proud and promoting self-sufficiency? Even as Christians, we can receive the forgiveness of the Lord through the gospel and just stop there thinking, I'm all right now, I'm saved, I can relax. And there's some legitimacy to that, because of course we rest in the salvation of Christ, we trust in the finished work of the cross. But we can stop at the forgiveness of the Lord and play down the sanctifying work that he desires to do in us of turning away from sin and growing into the likeness of his Son. You know, we can deceive ourselves and live just a half-baked Christian life. And the good works that we do or try and do, there's no sincerity or zeal to them that come from a heart filled with God's grace and love. And it just becomes drudgery, routine, you know, neither hot nor cold, like Jesus said. And the worst bit is we cannot realise it ourselves. You know, as a busy and tired working parent of toddlers, I stand alongside you and I know that, you know, reading the Bible can be difficult and frustrating sometimes. Prayer can be hard work. You know, sharing Jesus with others, it challenges us, it tests us in all sorts of ways. But we can be more passionate about our hobbies, our leisures, our pleasures, more than about the Lord who saved us and about his word. You know, we can forget how much he suffered to save us and think that we're doing just fine as we are. You know, we can have that same attitude of self-sufficiency. And from that, we can become lukewarm in our relationship with him and not even realize it. But friends, we're called to grow into the likeness of Christ and walk with God in a relationship where we're depending on him. Let's be honest with ourselves and with the Lord and just evaluate ourselves rightly. How are we doing with these things? Are we like the Laodiceans corporately and individually? But let's look further at what the Lord goes on to say in verse 18. We see that the Lord loves his church. He generously gives his grace and wise counsel to their pitiable, poor, blind and shameful state. What's the answer to this being in a state? Well, the answer is him, he himself. And he tells them to come to him. Like wise tradesmen, he tells them to come to buy from him pure spiritual riches for their poverty. White garments of his blood-bought righteousness through the cross to cover their shame. A salve of healing so that they may see the truth again and look to him. I think Jesus makes a great allusion here to something he said in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 to 3, which says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live." Friends, if you're living in a lukewarm state, if your walk with the Lord is not as rich in faith and life as you know it should be, if you're dabbling in things that don't satisfy or are harmful, you need to come back to Christ and receive from him. He invites us to come to him. And then in verse 19, the Lord makes it very clear what the Laodicean church must do. And he gives them such a hard word. But why? It's because he loved them too much to just let them stagnate into a lukewarm church. And his love for them is the same for us too. And he purchased us and them with his own body and blood on the cross. And because of that, there comes a requirement to respond, to turn from these self-sufficient, prideful ways back to him When God speaks to us in this way, we shouldn't harden our hearts to him, but we should open our hearts. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, quoting Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Why does Jesus say, "Be zealous and then repent"? Why does he say, "Be zealous first"? Well, it's because you need to reignite your passion for him and your love for him. You need to be convicted and moved by his discipline and love and by the Holy Spirit. Because then the repentance will be real and lasting. Verse 20, fellowship with the Lord. You know, the Lord so earnestly desires intimacy and relationship with us. Despite the severity of his rebuke, of the self-sufficiency and pride, he still draws near to each one of us. He doesn't just knock at the door, he calls out to us too. Do you hear his voice today? If you do, let him in. I love this illustration of the Lord coming in personally to eat with us. Those who hear his voice and you repent, who open the door, the Lord comes in to have an intimate meal. When you let someone into your home, you're making yourself vulnerable and letting them into your private space, the place where they can see who you are. But despite your lukewarm and backslidden state, you know, Jesus comes in and he says, "Let's sit down, let's have a meal together, let's work this out together. I know you want to talk about this, I want to help you out of this." Friends, don't just hear his voice through the door. The blessing of his fellowship and presence only comes when you respond and open the door. James says in chapter 2, verse 22 and 25, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The one being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Finally, the promise that he gives us, verse 21, 22. Jesus gives the Laodiceans and us an encouragement and a precious promise that those who repent, they will conquer this prideful attitude. It ends in victory for the Christian. But the key is to do it through him and not ourselves. Don't try to do this in your own strength. You won't be able to do it. Turn to him. Do it through his strength and through him. And he gives us this great promise to sit in the very throne room of God with the Lord himself for all eternity, in the place of the greatest glory and holiness, where we can view him in all his glory forever and ever. Friends, we are unworthy of such a promise, but it's ours in Jesus Christ. So come on, let's be zealous, turn back to him and walk with him afresh today. Let's open our ears once again to hear what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, to us as the body of Christ, and to each one of us as individual believers. Because it starts with each one of us. Let's be faithful and true to him as he is to us. Let's forsake our worldliness, our sinful pride, and our half-heartedness. Make 2021 the year you say no to lukewarmness and apathy, and yes to Christ. Make it the year of spiritual transformation and turning back to him. God bless everyone.